Well, welcome to the Repos Unleashed show, and we're here for the next hour. And really pleased to say, joining me today is the manager of Stanway Rovers, of course, Jamie Shaw. Welcome, Jamie.
Thanks, David. Thanks for having me.
No problems whatsoever. And of course, also joining me as well, Johnny Lowry, of course, the author of the Amateur Hour about the 2021 FA Vars, is his new book. So we'll talk to him about his book, and of course his love for non-league football as well, later in the show. Also as well coming on later, of course, we'll go return to Murpha, hopefully, because he's on a journey back from Somerset, so he's hoping that he's going to join us at about 7:45 to talk to us. And of course, they've had a great result at the weekend, a 2-0 win away at Chorley in the Enterprise National League North, so great result for them down there. So hopefully he'll come on and give us a chat about that when Craig turns up at about 7:45 in his normal place. But guys, I mean, I suppose one thing I always start off with, I mean, anything this week that you've seen in non-league football that has been a bit of a surprise, maybe, you know, a Twitter fest, shall we say, that I noticed and mentioned last night on the Manager's View, or some great results. I mean, have you seen anything there that that took your eye this week, Jamie?
Just the usual, really. I think this time of year is kind of where you start seeing players drop off and change of management in certain teams where maybe the teams haven't hit the levels they would have liked. So I guess the social media platform is quite busy at this time of year, just in general for, as they call it, the merry-go-round starts. Good to see my mate Angelo's game at Chelmsford Braintree for Saturday sold out. I noticed that sold out within like 12 minutes or something. But yeah, other than that, just the usual stuff you see on
I mean,
socials.
that's that. I mean, mentioning that game, I mean, that game's going to be massive, isn't it? I mean, that is a huge game. Local rivals as well. It's going to be, and it's a TV game as well, isn't it? I was thinking as well.
Yes, on TNT on
Yeah.
Saturday, obviously two huge rivals, and obviously Angelo's ex-club, all that sort of stuff, and Steve Pitt and Dukes being in charge of Braintree, they all know each other, so it's definitely a mouth-watering tie for them all, I guess.
I mean, looking forward to the FA Cup at the weekend. I know you won't be a part of it, but I mean, looking forward to some of those games because there's a few non-league teams in there with a great chance of progressing to the next round. And just as we were saying before we went live, of course, was you got that Maldon Tiptree, of course, in your league, and of course the League of Waltham Abbey that I support as well. So that they're in there and are playing Port Vale, and I personally think they'll win the game, but I'm not sure what you think.
Yeah, I mean, you always, I think in general, the public like to see an underdog do well. Despite obviously Maldon's financial power they've got, they're definitely an underdog. And, I do wish them well. I hope they do really well. My favourite memory in football was being in the FA Cup first round, and that's my shirt behind on the wall there. So it's amazing. So all those involved with Maldon on Sunday, they'll have an unbelievable time up there.
I mean, was you surprised, Johnny, when you saw? I don't know if you saw when Maldon turned around and signed out. I was Michaeli Bonn. I mean, ex Leyton Orient, and was absolutely huge for Leyton Orient, and they were absolutely devastated to lose him to Charlton at the time. So I mean, that's an incredible signing, along with Freddie Sears as well.
I mean, I remember seeing him play against Sutton, and we were thinking, God, this is tough. Like, he's at a much higher level than we are. So it's for players to be dropping down, it's, I guess, a statement of intent. I think it's an interesting time for non-league football. You are seeing more and more clubs that have owners that are putting money behind it, that are backing what they see as a long-term project. Seeing clubs come up local to me, like Walton and Hersham are a good example. I remember probably only 5 years ago they were finishing at the bottom of the Combined Counties Div 1, and now they're probably looking favourites to go up to the Conference South for the first time in my lifetime. So interesting time. New clubs coming up, Maldon Tiptree being one of them. So a few locals, Farnham Town, close to me as well. So be interesting what it means for the, I guess, what you call the traditional clubs like Sutton, my side, who might find this a lot more difficult to maintain our place around the National League and potentially the National League South. It's always interesting to see sort of live new clubs come up, keeps it fresh. So I think it's definitely a good thing game as a whole.
I mean, I'm not sure if anybody's seen the draw today, because the draw for the FA Trophy was pulled out today. It's FC United of Manchester versus Darlington, Chester versus Clitheroe, Macclesfield versus Prescot Cables, Gainsborough Trinity versus Alfreton Town, Chorley against Worksop Town, Leek Town versus Scarborough, Ratcliffe versus Bradford Park Avenue, Buxton versus Southport, Spennymoor Town versus FC Flying, South Shields versus Dunstan, Marine versus Stockbridge Park Steels, Ilkeston Town versus Curzon Athletic, King's Lynn Town versus Harrowborough, Merthyr Town versus Hanwell Town. And I'll be honest with you, I'm a bit jealous of Hanwell Town because I'd love to, Waltham Abbey have got this stage and got through and played them, but it wasn't to be. But Slough Town versus Gloucester City, Kidderminster Harriers versus Corby Town, Bedford Town versus Anston Nomads, Chesham United versus AFC Telford, Brentford Town versus Hornchurch, which I think will be a cracking game considering the form that Brentwood are in at the minute, and of course Hornchurch top of National League South, AFC Sudbury versus Hereford, Leamington versus Maidenhead, Oxford City versus Peterborough Sports, Bishop Stortford versus Cheshunt, Hemel Hempstead versus Chelmsford City. It's another cracker. Alba Church versus Real Bedford, Harborough Town versus Enfield Town. There's the shock for me. I think that'll be the shock. Harborough Town to beat my old club Enfield Town in that one. Dagenham and Redbridge, Tilbury, Warton and Hersham, Farnborough, Horsham, Farnham Town. Dover Athletic versus Basingstoke or Dorchester, Torquay versus Maidstone, Chippenham Town versus Weston-super-Mare, where Waltham Abbey would have gone if we would have won at the weekend, Wimborne Town versus Chatham Town, Plymouth Parkway versus Salisbury, Bath versus Bracknell, Ebbsfleet versus Sittingbourne, Folkestone and Victor versus AFC Totton, Dorking Wanderers versus Eastbourne Borough, Tonbridge Angels versus Worthing, and Leatherhead versus Hampton and Richmond Borough. Any of those ties there sort of jump out at you guys?
Dagenham and Tilbury, surely. That's a nice local game. Two sides that probably wouldn't have played each other in a while, I wouldn't have thought. Leatherhead and Hampton and Richmond, kind of similar, I guess. Two local sides wouldn't have played each other in a while. Be interesting for those teams to renew rivalries and so yeah, something a bit different, especially I mean that's a big club for Tilbury to be going to. And Dagenham was still I remember them in League One not too long ago. So hopefully it'll be a decent crowd. I guess you don't always see it in a trophy, but it's yeah. When you were reading through those, that was the one that I was like, well, "That's it's an interesting one."
Jamie, for you?
The one that stands out for me for the wrong reasons is King's Lynn against Harrowborough because we just got knocked out by Harrowborough on Saturday. So, yeah, would have been a really good tie for us to go away to King's Lynn. So,
Nice trip to Norfolk.
yeah,
Yeah,
definitely.
that's the first thing I did this afternoon when I looked, and we lost 2-0 to Chatham at the weekend, and the first thing I did was to see who Chatham had pulled out. I was hoping that they didn't pull out Merthyr because that would have been an absolute killer for me. But they ended up pulling out Wimborne Town. Of course, Jimmy Glass he's down there, the famous Carlow United goalkeeper. He's down there as I think one of the directors of football down at Wimborne as well. So it would have been that's going to be a cracking tie. But Jamie, Johnny, so if you're okay, we'll just start with Jamie first and of course Stanway. I mean,
Yeah, sure.
what a fantastic season for you. I mean, last time we spoke, he was in the Essex Senior League, and it was like, well, we're going for it, we're going for it, and you ended up going for it and ended up getting yourself promoted, and it must have been a incredible for you to get them up into that Isthmian North.
Yeah, and it was a incredibly tough league last year. I mean, there wasn't a time where I didn't feel the pressure. Not that I need to kind of have any extra pressure. I put a lot of pressure on myself anyway in these circumstances. But considering we went on some huge winning runs and unbeaten runs, I think we said when we were on the show last time there was no letting off. Tilbury were right in our tails, Woodford were right up there. The top sort of five was like a matter of a handful of points between them all season. And that was with us barely losing a game. So it was incredibly tough, and I think we only won the league, I think, 2 games before the end, which was a big sigh of relief for me to not have to go away to Tilbury last game and get anything out of it. But yeah, look, we it was a season where we'd built from the previous year to kind of have those ambitions, but also not being naive in the thinking that there's lots of other clubs with the same ambitions. It doesn't make it any easier. And there was that pressure in our dressing room from the start of the season till the end, which is, comes with its own challenges, having those pressures in there. And we dealt with it really well and obviously got over the line. And it was obviously made some really big history for the football club. Yeah, so really, really happy for that to happen. And then now we move on to other things now.
How much is it with the levels? I mean, going into step four, is do you see it as a, from step five to step four as a really big jump?
I think it's quite relative in most divisions that you go up, but I think, Takeley being our toughest game last year probably become our easiest game this year. It's just how it is. But in general, I would say there's less mistakes, which you'd expect as you go up any league. We probably only get 4 or 5 chances a game, whereas in the senior league, sometimes we had 15, 16, 17 chances. So, if you're not ruthless in front of goal, you can find yourself on the wrong end of results. And we've found that actually quite a few times this season already, where we've probably been the side that deserved to win the game and then haven't won it for not being clinical.
I mean, look at it. I mean, you're going great guns at the moment, no? I mean, Takeley was probably your, what was that? Was that the last league loss was to Takeley? And that was back on the 30th of September.
Yeah, it's been a bit of an indifferent feeling for us because we actually won 7 in a row. We drew the first game, then we won 7 games, I think, in a row, or 7 out of the first 8 we won. We had a really good run in the FA Cup. Obviously, we've only just exited the trophy, so that leaves you sort of behind with 3 or 4 games down in the league. And then when you do have a league game and you don't win it, you find yourself falling further behind. But from probably Mildenhall at home in the cup onwards, we've been absolutely depleted of injuries to the point of, I mean, I've had injuries in my time so far, and never ever spoke about it because we've always got the squad to cope. But when you've got six of your starters, centre backs, full backs, your captain, your goalkeeper, your front three that scored the majority of your goals all out at the same time, it's very, very difficult to recover. And going back, just reminded me because you said the game, we went away to Takeley with no front three. And we at the time we'd scored 28 goals and 21 were those front three, and we went without all three of them. And two of the front three, which are still our two top goal scorers, have been out for 6 weeks. So,
Yeah.
as you can imagine, it's a much, much tougher league. But then when you lose your firepower as well, your job is made even harder.
It's quite funny listening to you say that in a way because I do a manager's view on a Sunday night and with Waltham Abbey Ware and Wellington City managers and Waltham Abbey are in exactly the same situation. He was only talking yesterday. We said he was playing Chatham, gave him a really good game. Really, you couldn't tell that there was actually. You couldn't really tell that there was a division between them, and he said, I turned around, he said, and I saw seven of me starters all standing behind the back of the fence. He said that I couldn't start. He said he picked up another two couple of injuries yesterday as well, on Saturday as well. He said, like, and it's just crazy for him in a minute. He said, if he kept replacing everybody that was injured, he'd end up with a squad of about 40.
Yeah, and it's been the same for us. And we've had, I've had players sat on the bench behind me, and I think I wish I could use you on the pitch. But we're now at a stage where we're only 2 or 3 players away from being at full strength, and probably 2 weeks away. And for us, at one point, I think we sat second in the league. We had runs in the cups. We'd scored the most goals, one of the lowest defences. And then, since we lost a lot of players to injury, we have struggled to score, but we've still been difficult to beat. We haven't been conceding too many opportunities in games, which is really pleasing. So we've been difficult to beat, but we've definitely lost some attacking firepower, which has been really evident in our results and the goals we've scored. And yeah, I'm looking forward to having everyone back. That being said, the players have done themselves proud so far, because you kind of go into the league and you think, well, what's our ambition for the year? And I would say our ambition was to firmly stabilise ourselves in the division, have a good cup run or a couple of good cup runs. Obviously, it brings vital income in for the football club, and we've done that. There hasn't been a game really that we've played where we feel like we're out of our depth. We've been the stronger side in a lot of games, not necessarily on the right side of results, but really positive considering our injuries as well. So, I don't think there's too much for us to be disappointed about so far.
No, as you said, you look at it, you're 14th for a minute, but it's a completely sort of misplaced position because you've only played 10 compared to most of the ones that are up and around that sort of playoff areas have played 13, 14 games. So, exactly the same amount of games for the Abbey. It's almost like a mirrored season between the two clubs, if you know what I mean. We're both doing well in the cup competitions and then falling a little bit behind with their league games. But with games in hand, you could be pushing yourself up in and around that sort of playoff positions as well.
We don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but there's nothing that sort of frightened us in the league to this point. There's a lot of, obviously every game is really, really tough, and you can be on the right or wrong end of results, and they are a lot tighter, the games. But we know that if we're at full strength and we turn up and we're at it on the day, we will get positive results more often than not. And Waltham Abbey, another great example, in my opinion, one of the better sides in the league, if not probably second to Felixstowe, and the league position's false at the moment, because the good cup runs, they also had a good cup run in the FA Cup like ours, and the trophy, so they're behind on games, and then you find yourself drawing in the league, and then suddenly your league position doesn't feel so good, but normally when you look at goal difference, that does give you a bit of a sign, in terms of where teams are at. And if there's someone on minus seven and you're on plus six, for example, whatever it might be, normally there's a little bit falsified in terms of where you should be in the league. Look, it's one of those things. I think we'll have more than enough to be safe in the league. I don't want to jinx ourselves, because you can easily get on a sort of go on a downward spiral. But we've definitely got nothing to fear, and we will go into every game trying to win every game.
I mean, I suppose the other frustrating thing, I don't know if you even looked at it, but the biggest frustration I would have thought as a manager like yourself and Billy at Waltham Abbey is you get to a situation, you get knocked out of the cup competitions, and the next round of that cup competition, the team you're supposed to be playing is still in the cup, so you're going to end up losing another game.
We've got you. I'm assuming Waltham Abbey probably have similar. We funnily enough, we've got Tilbury coming up, and who's the only team left in the trophy is Tilbury.
Yeah,
So,
that's what I mean. Yeah, so you got Tilbury.
the next round of the trophy, we could fall another game behind, and then of course we're falling into that time of season where games fall foul to weather, and things like that. So it's gonna be tough. We've got midweek games all the way through to mid-December, I think.
So, I mean, the next few games then, Waltham Stowe on the 28th, what's that, tomorrow night? Is that Tuesday night?
Tomorrow,
Yeah, Tuesday night. Then Newmarket Town at the weekend away. Then you got the biggie away to Maldon Tiptree on the 4th, and then two home games at home to Downham Town, and then at home on the Tuesday against Lowestoft as well.
they come like literally come really, really fast. And like I said, at the moment we're struggling in front of goal a little bit, so for me, we could do with a couple of weeks break to get everyone back, really. But quite strange, because we've been loaded with home games this year. I think out of 20 games, possibly 13 or 14 home games, because every single cup game's been at home. And funnily enough, we've become a team that actually suffer a little bit at home, because we're better on better pitches, and our pitch isn't fantastic at the moment. So at Stanway, it kind of becomes a little bit of a first and second ball game, and who kind of wins the battle, and it is very 50-50. So we kind of welcome an away game, I'd say, at the moment.
It is quite funny though, when when you're talking, I'm just looking at some of your games and stuff, and it is quite funny how your season so far has almost mirrored Waltham Abbey's. It is quite incredible, because you got knocked out of a cup competition by Maldon Tiptree. Waltham Abbey got knocked out of the cup competition by Maldon Tiptree. I think it was the round after yours, in that sort of game, getting games called off because of teams still being in the cup competition, players that are getting injured, and so forth. It's quite funny when you actually sort of look through those fixtures, and you actually see that it's almost like a complete mirror. But when you went up into step four, did you get to a situation where you thought you had to bring in more players that have played at step four, or did you carry on with the same sort of team that you had there that won you the championship at step five?
I always felt like our team in the senior league was already a step four team, and it sounds a little bit silly, but some of the players I had actually are better in the league above. It's a really tough league to adjust to in the senior league. The pitches, the way the games are played, it's like 100 mile an hour, people steaming in at you, all that sort of thing, not much time on the ball. So I would say we already had a side that was already, a decent step four side, in my opinion. Doesn't make it any easier in the senior league, because it didn't. So I didn't really need to make too many changes, but we did need to evolve, and we did evolve in certain areas. And I do feel like the team has very much pushed on from last year, in a positive way.
For people that don't know, Joe, tell us a little bit about Stanway as a club.
I mean, your typical some of it sounds all a bit cliche, but yeah, some people that have been volunteers for the club for a long, long time. Some of them now really getting on, but just for an example, Jerry Carter, the chairman, who I think is around 70, and then Ivan, who does the secretary role and lots of stuff on match days between the two of them. Ivan's 86, so lots of the stuff that gets done at the club is actually by two guys that really should have some help from maybe some younger generation. But what the work they do is phenomenal. And that's kind of what it comes down to in the end. That's what you do it for, is for those people, those volunteers that have put the hard yards in, and whether they've invested money and in time or just a lot of hard work and volunteering over the years, it's good for them to see a side they can be proud of on the pitch, a different level, new teams coming to the football club, and just evolving really as a club on and off the pitch. But there's no magic money man at the club. It's very sustainable. Most of the budget is raised commercially, if you like, and obviously with the team doing well on the pitch and going up a league, the crowds increase slightly, and you just try and evolve bit by bit, and that's exactly what we're doing. So yeah, it's not like many clubs you see in around all kinds of levels where one minute it looks like they've got the best side in the world, and then 2 months later everyone disappears. It's quite sustainable.
I mean, you've got average home gate this year of 153.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. We've had some. I think we had maybe nearly 400 against Brighton this
Yeah.
season.
Yeah, that's it.
We've had some lower ones as well. I think what's been challenging this year is we've got Maldon on our doorstep, who, as we can see, are getting record gates every week. Sometimes a thousand people in, and a lot of our home games have mirrored them being at home. And on top of that, obviously you've got Witham, you've got Brighton Sea, you've got Brantford. Then of course you've got Little Oakley, Clacton, all the other local clubs that Harwich always get a big crowd. Colchester, if they're at home, so all of those things really, really play their part in who turns up to our games. So I do think that's something we need to look at as a club, that how we can do something different, or create a kind of a different vibe from a social media standpoint to try and drive people through the gate. But the competition's tough, it's really tough. So football alone isn't quite enough.
I mean, especially when you've just said that, with that, with the local side in, in sort of, they've actually had over 1,000, three times this season at the ground, and one occasion, 1,500. I mean, it's
Yeah.
crazy.
And how many of those, if Maldon, weren't in the position they're in now as a club, and they were like they were 2 years ago, how many of those may have turned up to a Stanway game? That's the thing. We've also got Heybridge to throw in the mix that are well followed. Like we've got a lot of competition when we're at home, a lot of competition. So it's tough, but I think I've probably said on this show before that the club was getting 40 fans turn up 2 years ago. So whichever way you look at it, it's a positive, and things are
Absolutely, 100%. You can
going
see
up.
that it's on that upward growth, as a club, and it's going in the right, completely in the right direction.
Yeah, it is, and long may it continue. There's a lot of work to do, and a lot we can still do to improve on, for sure. But everyone works tirelessly hard. The small numbers we have, everyone works incredibly hard to continue on that journey.
Well, promotion this season, and you'll be playing some of the big boys.
I think the chairman will probably have a heart attack if we finish in the playoffs this year. Some of the work that we have to do, but yeah, but it, our aim is to stay in the league and do ourselves proud every week by competing. And if the playoffs end up in sight at a point where, say the business end of the season, then of course that'd be amazing for the club. And of course I believe it. If I didn't believe it, I probably wouldn't be a manager, because I go into every game wanting to win every game. I'm a really, really sore loser. I don't like losing games. And I'll do anything I can do to make sure we get 3 points, or we're super competitive in the league. So yeah, without putting too much pressure on the boys' shoulders, I'd love to obviously push towards playoffs, but ultimately, if we can reflect at the end of the season and, be proud of our cup runs and be a real stable step four side, then I think we can all be proud of that.
So we're going to put a headline out there that you're going to officially say you're going to pit Morden to the tile.
No, That's not going to happen, unfortunately. Yeah, that certainly won't be us that pips him if anyone does. It won't be.
You've still got to play him twice in the league, haven't
Yeah, we've got to play him twice, and we'd have learned, well, we have learned from our FA Cup game. Doesn't mean that the game will necessarily go
you?
a different direction when we play him again, but obviously, we've had the FA Cup game to kind of learn from, as have they, I guess.
Right. I suppose it's one of those things. I know he was laughing about it yesterday night, saying, saying that, you got that situation there where, you only lose narrowly to them, the same as what Abbey did, and it was a situation where you think, oh, maybe we know the answers to, to the questions, and then they go and sign somebody like Michaeli Bonn, and you just think, maybe we don't.
I think any team that comes up against them at Step Four this year, of course, they're going to be the underdog. It doesn't mean that Maldon have it easy, because it is a real big challenge to motivate all those players to want to run just as hard as the opposition, and be motivated to get results at that level. So they've definitely got their own challenges, and the management team we know really well over there, with Pip and Liam Bailey and obviously Kev in charge and the owners. I think it's an exciting time for them over there. I don't want to. I'm certainly not one of those bitter people that question what they're doing over there. I think it's something that it's exciting for non-league, I guess.
Yeah, no, absolutely, 100%. Johnny, I'll come to you. Tell us a little bit about your background, and tell us a little bit about, we know you've, put out like quite a few books. Tell us a little bit about your sort of backstory.
Yeah, so I've been a Sutton United fan since I was 7 years old. So I've seen an interesting run. We obviously went above non-league for a bit, dropped back down again, struggling in the National League now. I always watched a lot of non-league football, even if it wasn't Sutton, though. I had like a filming company called Fox in the Box. So I did all the local games. That's why I follow all the clubs around Surrey, South London. Back when I was a teenager doing that. Went off to uni, watched a load of games up in the Coventry area. I was at Warwick. Got into writing when I was at uni, just basically because you have a load of time with nothing to do in summer. I didn't study anything to do with writing. I was an economics student, but because Sutton had such an amazing time in the FA Cup, we had that run in 16-17 where we played Arsenal in the last 16, and it was like, where on earth has this come from? And all my mates were saying, "Oh, you should write about that. You should write about that." And I was at the time I was volunteering at the club, so I was a bit like behind the scenes. I was like part of the cord and helping Arsene Wenger get off the coach and stuff. And it was all like I was 17, I think, or 16, 17 when it was happening. It was just a bit mental, to be honest. So I wrote down kind of like my memories from watching Sutton in the FA Cup, really just. For my mates to read. No intention of getting it published, but once I'd finished it, and it was like 50,000 words, it was quite a lot, and quite a lot had happened at Sutton in that time. So I thought I might as well give it a go, see what happens. Picked up a publisher, a local publisher, published the book, and it did surprisingly well because looking back, it's not particularly well written. I wrote it when I was 19. I was pretty drunk half the time. It was very much a kind of teenage sort of memories sort of thing. But yeah, it did all right. And I sort of got the bug for writing from there. So Sutton approached me to write their 125th anniversary book. So that would have been 2023. I wrote that for them, powered through it in a few months when I was off work. So that worked out quite well. Got it out just in time. I wrote a book about mental health in football called Match Fit. So there's a whole range of stuff in that book, 13 different chapters on different topics. I've sprinkled quite a bit of non-league in through all the different chapters in there. And that got shortlisted for Sports Book of the Year last year. So that was my sort of breakthrough, if you like. Never really thought I'd be in that sort of company. I was at the awards night at the Oval, the cricket ground. In like the sort of hospitality lounge there, and it was me and like a load of professional writers, and Chris Kamara was there, like lots of obviously former sports players from all sorts of sports, and then just me like in my mid-20s, like what on earth am I doing here? So that was pretty amazing. Didn't win it, and then Amateur Hour, which is I guess the book we're pretty focused on the most. So that's about the FA Vars. So 2021. 2020-21 season, sorry. Obviously, being in lockdown, there wasn't a lot of football at the higher level you could go and see, but obviously, non-league below the Conference South, I think it was non-elite. So a lot of the year you were still able to go to games. And I thought, oh, I've got to find something to do. I've always loved the FA Vars, just this idea that you've got a competition with 600 teams, all at sort of the same level, and you've got a final at Wembley. So what an incentive if you're a part-time player to go and make a name for yourself. And I thought I'll try and go to a game in every round of the FA Vars. First few rounds were all right. It was, non-elite. Crowds were capped at 300, was allowed in. Then we started getting to the winter, and you remember back to various lockdown restrictions in the tier system. And a couple of games I managed to get in on the media list. I got my camera back out of the archives. A couple I watched over the fence, and I managed to get a ticket for the Wembley final. So I'm pretty much 100% certain I was the only person to go to a game in every round of the FA Vars that season. And yeah, that's what Amateur Hour is all about. It's kind of like a diary of what non-league football was like in that very weird time, which feels like a long time ago now, to be honest.
Was that the one with Warrington Royals winning?
Yeah, it was Warrington Rylands in the final. Yeah,
Rylands, sorry. Yeah.
they had a very good team. They had a couple of players. I think it was Elliot Nevitt up front, and their name Kane Drummond, something like that. Who both went on to Football League clubs. From yeah, jumping up from the ninth tier, obviously, within weeks of the final. So yeah, they're a good side. They're obviously another non-league side that are very well financially backed. I think it was Paul Stretford, was it, who's putting his money in, like Paul Scholes' his agent, Wayne Rooney's agent. So yeah, they were a club that's come a long way over the last few years. And yeah, it was a good final, to be honest. Them and Benfield, I think it was 3-2. Very entertaining. They always are, the FA Vars finals. I've never been disappointed by it.
Did you manage to see any of those two, in the rounds you went to see before the final?
Yeah, so I saw Binfield at Hadley in what was not a particularly entertaining game of football. They won on penalties after a 0-0 draw. They won a lot of their games on penalties, Binfield. They got quite a few lives. Warrington, I went to their semi-final, watched it over the fence with a stepladder because no one was allowed in. I think it was Walsall Wood maybe in the semi-final. What I remember about that is so that no fans were allowed in, the lockdown restrictions at the time. So the obviously like the ground pretty much empty, but you were allowed some reason they were allowed to be inside the bar. So the bar was screening the game, and you could see that. So I'm watching a game on the stepladder. You see them score, and then the stream in the bar was maybe 5 or 6 seconds behind. So you could hear everyone in the bar celebrating the goal 5 or 6 seconds after it had gone in. And you're just thinking, like, this is ridiculous. There's maybe 50 people in there. Like, you could spread them. If you took them 50 people from the bar and put them around the ground, it would make a lot more sense. But yeah, it was, like I say, strange times.
Jamie, would you? Well, I mean, you went through. I mean, assuming you went through it as a manager. I mean, that's got to be, that to me was probably one of the most craziest decisions of all time. When you could watch it inside in the bar, where everybody would be close together, but you couldn't watch it outside in the ground.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's crazy to think, really. But we don't make the rules, do we? You just have to follow them, I guess.
I mean, with it though, I mean, for me, the FA Vars is. Has turned out to be special for me because it was one of those competitions. Although it was sort of step five and six, the club that I was always with was always in step four. So it was always, one maybe two games in the FA Trophy and good night type thing. Do you know what I mean? And you were gone, and it sort of picked up for me when I sort of followed Romford and as Jamie will probably know, a couple of years seasons ago, Romford and Great Wakering both got to the final, and I was lucky enough to be sort of press officer for Romford on the day, and so it's a trophy now that sort of got I'm quite close to. Do you know what I mean? And I'm now sort of probably looking out for results in that competition more than probably the FA Trophy.
Yeah, it's a real chance to be a hero, isn't it? And it always used to be the Northern clubs when I was younger who seemed to be two Northern teams in the final every year, and it's not the case anymore. seems to be a lot more open. And you had Chertsey from my neck of the woods, were there a couple of years back. So yeah, it's really exciting. And you look at the start of it and you think, a couple of these teams are going to be at Wembley, and how many players at that level get the chance to play at Wembley? Like, it is a, I guess it's everyone's dream as a young footballer, isn't it? And it does give you a genuine chance to do it. So I love the romance of it. That's what it is. And yeah, like you say, if for a club like Church is an example, that they're unlikely, not impossible, to get to the trophy final. Don't get me wrong. I remember Hornchurch winning it when they were Smee and Prem, I think, a few years back. That was the year, the same day as the Ryland Spinfield final. But it's unlikely. Whereas the Vars, you've got your ninth and your 10th tier teams. Everyone's around that same level. So it feels like pretty much anyone, you could almost pick a name out of
I
a hat.
mean,
A favourable run of fixtures, you could be there.
I mean that Chertsey Chichester final was unbelievable. I mean that was a fantastic game, a game of football. I think on that day, I might be mistaken. Was the trophy final Wrexham and Orient, or Orient and somebody?
I think it was Bromley,
Was
and
it Bromley and Bromley?
I'll tell you why I think that. It's why I didn't watch it. This is a sound fan. I hate Bromley, and I was like, I can't watch them win something, so I didn't watch it. That's why I think it was Bromley. They definitely beat Wrexham in a final
Yeah, I think it
around that
was.
time.
I
So
can't think of the one was. I'm sure the year that one was. I'm sure it was Leighton Orient. I remember my dad being a Leighton Orient fan, sort of second team. So we were right up in the heavens for that. And I'm sure. Anyway, it might not have been the same year, but that was. I know going there and seeing them get beat was a nightmare. But there you go. But you look at that and think, well, look at those two teams in that final, both now step three teams. Chertsey and Chichester, which is incredible.
And a lot of the teams that I think the majority of the teams that I watched in the latter stages have all been promoted since. Rylands are in the Northern Prem, Binfield went up. Trying to think who else was there. I think Blackwell Heath are playing up a level, Southall playing up a level, Sutton Common Rovers were and got relegated again. Hadley playing up a level. So yeah, a lot of the teams, it's a good indicator. You look at the quarterfinals in any given season, and the chances are a lot of those sides will be doing well. United Services Portsmouth were one of the teams in the quarterfinal, and they're still in the 10th tier. So it's not always, you do get those underdogs, and they looked because they beat Flackwell Heath from memory from when I was there. And they looked a very good side. They were mid-table in a in their 10th tier division at the time, but yeah, on their day, they ended up making it to the semis. They were one game away from Wembley, so yeah, very nearly was them.
I mean, any sort of highlights from your games that you watched all the way through to the final? I mean, was there sort of certain games that you went to that was a highlight, either football wise or for other reasons?
Malvern Town against Sporting Kowzer was a 5-all draw. It was one of the best games of football I've ever seen. I think I paid like a fiver to get in. It's like, wow, this is a decent value for money, 50 pence a goal here. And Malvern won it on penalties. They were 10th tier at the time. Sporting Kowzer were a very good side. I mean, they're again another one that's playing above that level now. So I remember that being one of the best games I've seen. That was probably the highlight. I went to a couple of clubs up north where my dad's side of the family are from. So like Whitley Bay, like a great club, nice to visit them. They got absolutely battered by Newcastle University, actually. I think no time, but like great club, and chance to see something a bit different from the Surrey South London clubs I'm used to. Yeah, that Malvern Town game was definitely the most entertaining. There was a lot of red cards. I think I saw more red cards than goals in the first few rounds. Southall might have been down to seven or eight men at one point. Sutton Common only just beat them still. So. But yeah, I'll tell you what, there was never a dull moment. There was that one nil-nil draw that went to penalties in the quarters. But at that stage, it's just the fact that it's so close makes it entertaining, even if it wasn't the best game in the world. So yeah, it was thoroughly enjoyable. Every single game I went to, there was something memorable about it.
So, I mean, Jamie, have you got any memories, any favourite memories from the bars yourself?
I mean, as a manager, we got knocked out straight away, so not so good, but definitely competition that I think everyone does take it really seriously because it is, I guess, as Johnny said, it's like a dream that could come true, you know. So, as a player, I had a couple of half decent runs, maybe just before the quarter final, but yeah, never got as far as the lads. I know a lot of the boys that obviously are at Wakerin and Romford, which would have been, you know, amazing, an amazing experience for them all. But definitely a competition that everyone loves. Everyone really loves that competition.
I mean that in all fairness, the semi-finals, you know, that year when Romford had, I think it was Lincoln City and I think Worcester, they played Worcester City, didn't they? I think if I'm right in saying Great Wakering, and it two unbelievable semi-finals. I mean, I say I went to the home leg for Romford, and the now manager got sent off within sort of, I think it was about 7, 10 minutes of the game, and you're thinking, oh, Struth, this ain't going to go very well. Do you know what I mean? And ended up, you know, sort of getting a draw on it, and then winning on penalties on the, in at Lincoln, and I think then Great Wakering won on penalties at Worcester. I mean, it was just an incredible, and then going to the final, and I think I've said it before on the show before, that sort of experience for those players, you know, on the day was, it was just literally as if it was Real Madrid against Barcelona in the final. I don't think there'd be any difference in the way they were treated, you know, on that day. You know, you walk into the dressing room with a club plaque, you know, all on the floor, you know, literally in the dressing rooms. The dressing rooms were like, I don't know, sort of like high-end hotel suites, I think is probably the only way to describe it when you walk into them. And they ain't even the main dressing rooms for Wembley, you know, because the trophy finalists had them. But the, you know, the way that you actually sort of treated, you know, even the officials of the clubs, you know, upstairs in the Royal Box, you know, was just phenomenal, you know. And it must have been such a great thing for these, you know, these smaller clubs to get to this sort of final and you know, and enjoy the day. It was you know, as I say, just absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, sort of once in a lifetime stuff for a lot of clubs, isn't it? Especially now you're seeing a lot of the sides that are winning these finals are then moving on up the pyramid, which is great, and you've got better opportunities in the league, and you can push as high as you can up the league system. But like we said, less likely to get that Wembley appearance when you're Isthmian League or Southern League than you are, I guess, in the Vars. You've got the National League size to contend within the trophy, so. Yeah, I think, like I say, something everyone dreams of, and I can only imagine. I mean, there's obviously no chance I'm ever going to play at Wembley. I can only imagine what it'd be like. It's like I watched Sutton at Wembley in the EFL Trophy, and even though we lost, it was one of the best days of my life. So I'd sort of imagine what it'd be like to play there. Must be incredible.
So, John, if people want to get your book, the Amateur Hour, where do they need to go to find that?
Yeah, so any online bookstore, so Amazon, Waterstones, that sort of thing. If you Google my name, Johnny Lowry, or if you search for Amateur Hour book or Match Fit book, it was the mental health one. I've also got a website, you can buy it from there. So that's johnnylowry.co.uk.
We'll wish you all the best with it, mate, because it sounds a great book. I'm going to go on to Amazon later on and order myself a copy. And
Thank you very much.
it sounds a cracking little book to sit and read. Just joined us, of course, fresh. Looks like he's got a suntan from Somerset. No?
Not quite. Must be the
I was
light gin.
hoping the weather was good up there, Craig, because I'm going out the weekend.
Yeah, no, it wasn't bad today, to be fair. It wasn't bad there today when I visited today. Back home to Rainy Mooth, I know, so yeah.
So, for people that don't know, of course, as well, I mean, an absolutely phenomenal win for you at the weekend against Chorley. I mean, that was something else, wasn't it? 2-0.
I think they'd unbeaten at home in something like. It was something like 20 games at home or something silly like that. So yeah, it was a we hadn't won in five. We needed that win. And yeah, it was very good. It was very good performance. They went down to 10 men in the second in the towards the end of the first half. But even before that, we controlled the game. And I think their manager said in his interview that we probably created more when they had 11 men than they did when they had 10. We were really comfortable throughout the game. So no, very, very pleased Saturday.
And of course, we didn't have to guess who scored the goals, did we?
No, he's doing okay. I think that's 11 and 13 now he's on. So yeah, but it was a proper performance. We like I said, we controlled the game, the tempo to it. We were very patient. It was a real professional performance on Saturday. And yeah, when you've got
and you've got to finish it like that at the top end. You're always got a chance then of winning games if you can give him the opportunity, and we did. And as usual, he takes him away really well. So yeah, he's doing okay.
Well, we were talking just a minute ago to Jamie from Stanway, and we're just saying about their clubs are really sort of up and coming club, doing great things and going in the right direction. And of course, they've got sort of a big club quite close to them that's become a big club, this season. And I don't know, I've just noticed it. That's why I wanted to let Jamie know. It just shows you what a fantastic job the guys at Stanway are doing, Jamie and everybody at the club. When you look at it and go, right, okay, yes, we are up against that club, and you look at Chorley, two divisions higher than what Stanway are playing, and their home attendance was 1,187, against a team like Merthyr, who take a really good following as well, and you're up against a team that's beaten that this year, at step four. I mean, that just proves what a great, how good the club is at Stanway and pushing in that in that right direction. But I mean, how with Ricardo, I mean, we talk about Ricardo just for a minute. I mean, is it going to be get more and more difficult if he keeps banging in these goals to keep him in that shirt?
I'm sure that's the case for many of our players. We've got lots of players where I'm sure people are starting to sit up and take notice of. The week before, or 2 weeks before, 2 games before, maybe it was Lewis Twamley absolutely ran the show and created goals and scored and was fantastic. And we've got Jack Evans in midfield. We've got Cole Jarvis standing out. We've got so many players at the moment that for 2 years now have been absolutely superb. So I think when you're doing well, that always has people taking notice of you, and I'm sure that will be the case. But Rick has had offers in the past and has decided to stay at Merthyr. He does enjoy it there. The fans love him and the players love him, and I think that's a big part of it. And I think he knows that we can grow together. So yeah, I think he's more than happy at the moment. And you never know what's around the corner, so we'll see what happens. But right now, I know that Rick is really happy where he is.
And we spoke before, Craig, about how strong, how strong sort of National North is. And when it's not very often you go to a game away from home and score four goals, but still don't pick any points up and lose 6-4.
Yes,
I mean, that's just
it's still a sore
incredible.
subject, that one, to be honest, Dave. Look, they would have said you wouldn't concede at home in six games or something like that. So to go in there and score four, and the whole weekend, it was a long weekend. We left 3 o'clock Friday to travel up to Spennymoor, and we stopped in Leeds on the Friday night. We stopped in a hotel. It's the first time we've ever done that, where we've done the overnight stay. But obviously, with the distance, it was pretty much impossible to do on Saturday. So we left 3 o'clock, got to Leeds at something like 8:10, went in for food and things, and had a couple of meetings, then off to bed up in the morning. And so a bit of a walk, some meetings again, going through things, and a pretty much meal, and another hour and a half to the ground, and got there and just started really, really well. And went 2-0 up, and thought, right, this is great. But it was always, even at that point, it was still end-to-end game. It was a bit like basketball even at that point. And then they've scored just before half time. Then the bit of momentum is behind them, and that feel good factor going into half time, and a 2-0, I think it's a totally different game. But credit to them, and they come out to score early on in the second half, 2-2. Then we've gone 3-2 up. They've come back to 3-3. We've had a goal disallowed then at 3-3, which was very harshly disallowed. And then yeah, they've gone 4-3, 5-3, 6-3. Then we've scored 6-4, and yes, it was a great game for the neutral. Not so great if you're on the wrong end of a rugby score 6-4. So yeah, it was a long old trip home, that one, then, I promise you that.
I mean, three goals in the first half, seven in the second. I
Yeah,
mean,
yeah.
incredible. And I mean, what was it? Just a, do you think what went wrong for that sort of 15 minutes? Because as I say, you say you were sort of sitting there at 3-2 up, and then it went 63, 69, 74, 78.
Yeah, look, they had a right go in that period, and maybe we could have done a bit better the way we defended our goal and on a couple of those goals. I think you're always going to say that when you concede goals, we can do better. But credit to them, they had that bit of momentum and they went with it. And it was a yeah, it was a tricky period that. But even still, we still missed a couple of real good chances where we could have been 6 all, to be perfectly honest. So yeah, look, there's lots of positives to take from that game despite losing 6-4. We say you've gone away to a side you haven't conceded in 6 games at home, and we scored 4. Could have scored more. So that part it was really good. We had a week then where we've worked on things, and Paul and Smedge, and we've come up with a plan. We've worked hard in training, and a big thing was, can we keep a clean sheet at Chorley on the weekend? That was a big thing. We mentioned that quite a few times, and we did. So we it's a season where there's gonna be a lot of learning done for us this season in the National League North in terms of the travelling, in terms of the opposition, the quality, and the way we go about things. And I do think we learned from that the week before to keep that clean sheet in Chorley. So yeah, in the long run, it won't do us any harm. But yeah, at the time when you've got a 6.5 hour journey home, it's not ideal, to be honest.
But I mean, everybody at Merthyr, a few years ago, you could have only dreamed about having a home game against Darlington.
Yes, we played Kidderminster last Tuesday at home. Darlington at home this week, and it's what we want at the end of the day. So you're going to have these tough games. You're not going to have it easy. The step up is absolutely massive. So you're always going to have a few of these tough games, and the games that you relish, you look forward to, and we'll continue to do that. And we're going to win a lot of games, I think. I think we're going to lose some games, and that's football. And at this level, that's to be expected, really.
And then you got Telford away,
Yeah.
a lovely ground as well. I mean, one of the best grounds probably, in non-league. And then Bedford Town away on the 8th, and then you've got, well, they're probably sitting off now, aren't they? South Shields.
That's Jesus, yeah. Yeah, so it's a nice trip on a Tuesday night from that one. Yeah, look, it's a long way off. I think we've got 8 games in November now. So there's 3 Tuesdays in there. There's a hell of a lot of games in November. So we haven't looked past the next game, to be honest, and that's where we're gonna have to go, Borough, because a lot of things will change as the month goes on. You might pick up injuries, suspensions, all those things come into play. So we can't plan too far ahead. But yes, it's going to be a real, real tough month in terms of stretching the squad. So again, like I say, it's the challenges that we wanted in this league, and we're certainly facing a lot of challenges head on at the moment.
I mean, you've then got that sort of run of, as you said, three home games. South Shields on the 11th,
Yeah.
and you've got it. Then you've got a nice 11-day break.
Yeah. Well, we got it's a cup in there, isn't it?
Huh? Oh,
There's a
you've got the
cup
cup. Yeah,
match in there.
fifth thing.
So
You've got Hanwell Town.
Hanwell at home.
Yeah,
Yeah,
that's we're putting here. Yeah, then Alfreton Town, and then Leamington. You've got 4 games in a row now.
It's nice. It feels like we played Kidderminster home last Tuesday, but it feels like we've been home on a Saturday since last season, to be honest. It seems that long ago, with the travelling that we do. So yeah, it'd be nice to have a run of home games and give our supporters a chance to come and watch at home, because they spend a lot of money travelling away with us at the moment. And credit to them. We went to Spennymoor, and the amount of fans that travel to Spennymoor is just incredible. Just to go all that way to watch us, it's unbelievable. It really is. So yeah, it'd be nice for them to have a run of home games now, and save some money for the away games to come.
Johnny, have you been to Merthyr to see him play?
No, I haven't. I know that it's meant to be a very impressive ground. So yeah, maybe one day. I mean, so I'm a Sutton United fan, Craig. So we're
Right,
looking
yeah.
like we may well drop into the Conference South. Hopefully we won't get pushed in the north. We'd probably be
Yeah,
the
well,
most northern team left in the south. But
yeah, yeah, yeah. We didn't think we were going in there, but
it's crazy. A massive respect to the teams that like yourselves, and I think in the past you've had, I mean, like, I think Lowestoft have been in it, Bedford Town are in it now, Oxford City, like clubs that can compete still, despite having pretty much every single trip being what would be one of our furthest, is incredible. Yeah, really impressive stuff.
No, it's tough. It really is tough. And I don't think people realise just how much that takes out of the players. We said a couple of weeks back, we did Macclesfield away on a Tuesday. We got back at 4 o'clock in the morning from from that one. Last week, Spenny Moore, we got back not much before 1 o'clock on a Saturday from a 3 o'clock kickoff. So, yeah, it is tough. And then, they got back just before one on the Sunday morning, Saturday night, Sunday morning. And then we were home to Kidderminster on the Tuesday. We're obviously full time, so get time to prepare. And, he's even the staff, the manager hasn't had time to sit down and analyse the Saturday game and because he's got to work. And then we're back in on the Tuesday. So, yeah, it is really, really tough. Tough going, but it's as I keep saying, it's what we wanted. We wanted to be at this level, so we can't complain too much, really.
I mean, I was just flicking through your fixtures because I've been looking for somewhere to, we always have a go away for my wife's birthday or my birthday. So I looked at it and I thought, let's have a look, see what who you've got around that sort of time. And it's quite handy, Harry, because on the my birthday's on the 9th of April, and on the 11th of April you're playing Macclesfield at home. So if I can find somewhere to stay, I might be coming down to one that weekend just to go and
Yeah,
see that game.
it'd be a good one that. Yeah, no, it'd be a good one. So, yeah, there's plenty of nice places around Merthyr. I wouldn't probably suggest staying in Merthyr, but yeah, plenty of nice places around Merthyr and visiting. So, yeah, should be a cracking game. It was a very good game when we played them away a couple of weeks back. So I'm sure it'll be the same when we come to play them at home and a good crowd expected as well.
I see as well. Of course, you're coming up as well. You're coming down to my or our end of the country anyway, and on the 8th of November, got Bedford on that day. So that'll be interesting. And my season ticket will for Manby don't get me in at Maldon and Tiptree. So that could be an option to
There you
travel
go,
up to
lucky.
Bedford to come and see
There you
you.
go. There you go. Yeah, I'm looking forward to these places. These places, most of us as a group of players and staff haven't been to because of the distance. So we're looking forward to them, to be honest. It has been enjoyable. It's been tough. But yeah, visiting some of these grounds is, some cracking grounds that we go into, and yeah, I'm looking forward to them.
Is South Shields the one that the club's really looking forward to with the games you've got left? I mean, is that or is that one of them? Like maybe even Scarborough, they're right at the end.
Yeah, I think both of them are towards the end. Maybe they. I'm not really sure where we are now because, like I said, we haven't looked too far ahead. But both of those will be overnight stays when we go to both of those. But yeah, like I say, I don't know. I don't know what. I'm sure the players might be looking for a night out in Newcastle after one of those games rather than coming straight home. So they'll pay themselves for that, and maybe they'll have two nights away rather than the one before. So yeah, I think that's what they're doing, but it's no, it's good. Like I said, we went to Spenny Moore. It was a nice ground. It had a good welcome there, and yeah, the overnight stay is, it's great and everything's brilliant. The overnight stay is really professional when you're doing it, but it is a hard weekend. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I don't sleep that well the first night in a different hotel, in a hotel, different bed, different noises, all those things, and then. With the travelling, with the lack of sleep, it's tough. So it's the same for the players. Yeah, it is tricky that.
But I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the club's doing absolutely incredible, isn't it? I mean, for a first season, up there in that sort of, step two. I mean, Paul must be sort of thinking he's dreaming, mustn't he? With how well you do it.
Yeah, it's a strange one because. We've had a good start. We've won games. We've lost games, of course. But I think a lot of people didn't give us any chance of winning many games at all, to be perfectly honest. However, we know the quality that we have got in the group, and the manager is, he's such a good manager. There's always a plan for the next game. Different plan for whoever we're playing, and we've got he's put a squad together that we always. Felt would be able to compete in and around those playoffs. It is difficult getting out of the league below into this league to have that opportunity. But should we get in, we were gonna is a way we're gonna play, and he stuck to it. To be fair, even in the tough times, he said, "No, we're not away from what we're doing." We've lost 6-4 away from home, and we're still gonna stick to the way we play and what we're doing. And there's not many sides that we've played so far who do play the way that we play. They do tend to go very, very direct, and get up to the big guy up top. And I think the way we play has troubled some of these teams, to be honest, because they're not used to sides playing through it a bit. So yes, yeah, it's been a real good start, but that's all it is at the moment. It is a start, and there's a long, long way to go in this league. Anything can happen yet. So Yeah, we won't get carried away. We won't get too high. We won't get too low. We'll just try and keep going and see where we go.
But National League Premier's still there.
Yeah, look, let's just never say never. Three years, we've got to remember the club were relegated. So here we are now. Who'd have said that then? So anything could happen in the future. We won't look far that far ahead just yet, but that would be the next dream.
I'll play this one back to you when we get to May, yeah? When you're celebrating.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
But listen, guys, time has flown away from us. It's been fantastic to talk to call Craig again. Of course, Jamie's just had to had to go, and Johnny, fantastic to meet you for the first time. And do you want to just remind everybody where they can find your books?
Amazon, Waterstones, any online bookstore. If you search my name, Johnny Lowry, or search the name of the book, so Amateur Hour is the most recent one. Match Fit is the mental health one. Or if you go on my website, so that's johnnylowry.co.uk.
There you go. Go make sure get yourself an early Christmas present, and go and buy some of those books of Johnny's. But a massive thank you for everybody for watching tonight. We'll be back next week, and next week, hopefully, we'll still be back on the return to Merthyr with another 3 points in the bag. And of course, as well, we'll be joined by ex Leyton Orient, and what a player he was for Leyton Orient. And of course, at the moment, Bishop Stortford manager Steve Castle will join us next week on the Repost Non-League show. But until then, a massive thank you to Jamie, to Johnny, to Craig, and to everybody for watching. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you all next week.